Hey, son, Svejson, hur går det? It's Jörgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. This week, it's the warts and all approach to employer branding. Let's face it, your company won't be the right place to work for everyone. So instead of trying to be everything to everyone, let's stand out to the right people and make it clear to others that we're probably not the best fit. Does that make sense? Don't listen to this if you're not interested. Just turn off right now. Seriously. See what I mean? Good. Let's roll this week's expert interview. Dee Murphy, top of the morning to you.
Oh, Jesus.
Dee Murphy, how are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Who are you and what do you do?
So I'm Dee Murphy and I am the expert in residence in Jobbio. And fundamentally what that means is I head up the employer branding, content and marketing divisions of the company.
Right, so expert in residence.
Very posh title. Yeah. I'm an organisational psychologist. That's actually what I am, born and bred. But my posh title is expert in residence.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so what's your take on employer branding? What's your definition of it?
Employer branding is, to me, understanding your values, your mission, and your culture, and then communicating that to people in the right way.
Okay. So you've sort of already said this, but where would you start?
Okay, without a doubt, you need to start by understanding who you are and what you're about, the warts and all version. So truly strong employer branding isn't about a marketing blurb. It's going to prove insufficient, right? Because talent in particular have a very strong bullshit filter. So they're going to see right through marketing blurbs. So what you really want in those environments is, or when you're attracting those kind of candidates, is to be talking about the truth about who you are and what you're about, the pain points that you have, the problems that you're trying to solve, and then what it's really like to work in the company and with the people that are in the company. It's understanding that first and foremost, and then channeling that out the right way.
And how exactly do you go about understanding that?
I would say it depends on the size of your company, right? In the very beginning, and I think this is a big mistake the founders make and senior management at the very beginning, is they don't actually understand what their true vision and mission and values are. It's a real hodgepodge and they're flying by the seat of their pants, right? So as soon as you can, I would sit down and really mold that. What is everybody in the company there? What do they feel that they're there to do? What problems do they feel like they're working on, and what challenges are they conquering in the industry? And as you grow and as the company expands, you're in a really promising position then, because you can actually run 360s and get everybody in the company to feedback on what they believe the mission is. So crowdsource it, basically. Understand why you got into what you're doing. So go back to before you started pitching for big money, go back to when you were sitting in your mother's bedroom or whatever at home, when you had the key idea, when you were planting the first seed, what was it about and why was it coming about? What were you out to conquer and what were you out to change? And then as you grow and as everything in the company changes, leverage the employees that you have to get their feedback on what it is they believe they're doing for the company, what their job is, and then on the greater scale, and then get smart people, a content team or the people in your company or HR, to mold that together into a story and cement that story early on. And it can change and it can evolve, but know your story early on.
So I've heard you say content is king for employer branding a number of times. Could you give us some examples of how a company can activate their employer brand in a content driven way?
Yeah. When I joined Jobbio, we had a content platform, we had a blog, we had social, and we definitely weren't leveraging it in the right way. And the more I was working with the companies who are our clients, I realized that they too were funneling an absolute shed load of money into marketing. And as I just said previously, marketing doesn't really work these days if it's too obvious, right? So what you should be doing is focusing on your employees as your number one brand ambassadors and getting them to tell your story on your behalf from an authentic place using their channels to their audience. So number one, your focus should be on your employees and leveraging them in the right way.
So leveraging them, how exactly do you do that? Is that through education, encouragement? And when you talk about channels, what type of challenges or channels will these be?
So the first thing to do, I think, is to remove the fear around speaking openly about your company, warts and all, and then encouraging them to use their social platforms, right? So if each member of your company, if each person within the company has, you know, an audience of even 100 to up to a couple of thousand people within their network, they've got all these social avenues, if it be Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat or LinkedIn or networking events. So first of all, you should sit down and you should say, listen, let's remove the fear around you talking about us. What do you really love about the company? And get them to identify it. And then openly, they encourage them to share that story. And what I find most interesting about that is the fact that it creates what I call psychological buy-in. Uh-huh. Well, I don't call it. It's a well-known turn of phrase, right? But psychological buy-in is actually a really valuable tool for you as an employer, because if your employees are speaking super positively about who you are as a company and what their role is within that company, it creates an allegiance with the company and a loyalty to the company that may not exist if they weren't talking as positively about it. So it actually creates a sense of them wanting to stay and champion what you're doing, which is wonderful. And if you're creating any sort of video content, we often work with companies and we do video content with them as part of their employer branding projects. And I say what you should be doing is you're getting the people who are fresh in the door, because they're coming in with new eyes and they're coming in with the kind of newbie gloss, I call it, where they're getting a sense of the place for the first time. So that's a really interesting perspective. And you should get a few of the people who've been around for donkey's years, because they really know the bread and butter of what you do. But you should also target to put on video, or to put out, write a blog about your company, or to put out on social channels. You should pick the people who you are worried are about to drop off. And the interesting thing there is that if they start talking positively about your company through their channels, they'll actually pivot. And instead of wanting to leave the company, they're more inclined to stay with you for the long haul. So when you're thinking about getting your content out there, getting people to champion your brand within the company, look to the people that you're most nervous about.
The ones at flight risk.
The ones that are at flight risk, right? Mm. And get them talking positively about you. And even when you're prepping people to talk positively about you, you can see if they're feeling a little bit uncertain, and you can address the issues that they're experiencing and say, if you were to honestly meet somebody on the street and start talking about us, what would you genuinely say? And remove the fear factor from that, and actually it'll help you get to the grassroots of any issues that you're experiencing. But then coach them around getting to a friendlier story about you, and it'll create a strong sense of psychological buy-in.
That's an interesting, because it's a classic sales trick. When you step into a meeting, the first thing you ask is to the prospective clients, so why did you invite us to come here today? You know, why us? And let them then repeat what selection process they went through, what they find interesting about you and so on. So as opposed to, in a way, you're getting the employee to reiterate why they chose the company in the first place.
It's the same philosophy, exactly. And it just it creates a sense of, it renews their sense of loyalty.
Yeah. Okay, so those are some great examples out there. What are some of the hard lessons that you can share from projects that you worked on, or companies you've seen doing employee branding, getting it a bit wrong?
Yeah, I think I see it often. So we work with a shed ton of companies, right, on building out their employer brand. The ones that put the wrong person in the hot seat, so they go straight to the super senior management, like CEO level of the company, or their marketing people are often the ones that they funnel out. So I find that that's a really rookie error, okay? Because they're not the relatable characters for prospective talent. Talent want to know, what is the person who I'd be sitting next to every day of my life, working at grassroots level, what do they genuinely have to say about it, right? So getting the right people to start telling your story is imperative, and too many companies think that the message should come from the top. And then the other major mistake, of course, is being inauthentic. So you can really sense when somebody is talking about your company or your job, but you're not really feeling what you're saying. It comes across in your body language, it comes across in your tone of voice, and it comes across in your turn of phrase. So finding people who will either genuinely wax lyrical about who you are, or allowing the ones that have two sides of the story to tell both sides of the story. And don't be afraid of that, because actually it'll attract the right people for the right reason. because people will say, okay, these are the problems that this company is facing, and I know that I've got the skill set that can help them resolve those issues. And that's exactly who you want to hire at the end of the day, the people that are going to solve your problems.
Must have a jump at it. Absolutely, yeah. All right, so the big question, the million-dollar question, million-euro question, is how do you calculate ROI on employer brand?
Oh, that's such a tough one, because it's on one level, right, employer branding is quite subjective, and it actually takes a long time to reap the rewards of your employer branding efforts. I think that, I suppose great markers would be if you're putting out strong messages about your company and you start really ramping up your employer branding game and your content game in particular, are you seeing an increased level of applicants for roles? Are you seeing a higher level of engagement in general with your brand? So say, for example, if you're actively on Twitter or if you're actively on Facebook or Instagram and you're proactively talking about your company, what's the public engagement on that like? Is it positive? Is it negative? Is it increasing? Are you getting more followers? Are you getting more likes? Are you getting more comments on what you're doing? All of that fundamentally is an ROI of some description, because you're getting traction and you're getting your brand out there into the ether. But everything should always come back to retention of employees and making the right hires fundamentally. So if you're putting out the story of who you are and what you're about, are you attracting applicants that are a better fit, and are they staying for the long haul because they're coming on and into roles where they understand the truth of what you're about, as opposed to a vision that isn't actually what it seems from the outside. So are people, and that's a real indicator. People stay in companies that when they know that what they've gotten themselves in for is the reality, and people leave companies really quickly if they feel like they were sold a dummy. So retention is always a very strong key, or even doing a 3-month or a 6-month health check is what I call it, where you sit down with the employees and you say, do you feel like you were sold a dummy, or do you feel like you're doing the job that you set out to do here? Have we done a good job basically at telling you what we're about and explaining what you were in for?
Great. Okay, so what are your top 3 tips to employer brand managers out there listening to this podcast right now?
Top 3 tips. Okay, number 1, leverage employees at grassroots level. Stay away from the top senior management so as you get the most authentic story. Mm-hmm. 2, be super authentic, be warts and all. Talk about the positives, but also talk about the negatives. And 3, leverage content channels and leverage your employees to funnel out through their networks, because a lot of them are free and they sit much more comfortably with talent, because talent feel like it's an authentic message coming from a channel that they can engage with and they can communicate back with.
Final question, what's the future of employer branding?
This is really interesting, right? So even up to a year ago, when I joined Jobyo, I was really in tune with what employer branding was and how important it was. But genuinely, when I came into Jobyo, it wasn't a hot topic on the market. And that was only a year ago, right? Today, everybody's very much in tune with employer branding and just getting their heads around it. So the future of employer branding, I think, is a worldwide acceptance that it's important, so therefore a lot more transparent communication through multiple media outlets and a lot more of it. I also think that things like video interviewing and video content is going to be really imperative, and that companies are going to really invest in creating strong video collateral that they can use to attract talent.
Great. Thank you so much for that. So Dee, tell our listeners where they can learn more about Jobyo and also where they can connect with yourself.
Okay, so to find out more about Jobyo and what we do, you can log on to jobyo.com or check out our blog. They can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm Flora/Dee Murphy is my name. You can connect with me on Twitter. I think my name is @DeeMurphy on Twitter. And on Instagram, it's @I'mDeeMurphy. So
fantastic.
Connect away.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, I hope that was useful. Everything that Dee and I discussed will, of course, be in a show notes article, which you'll be able to find at employerbrandingpodcast.com. And thanks again to our friends at Jobyo for having us at their Hired event in London. Right, so as you may know, this segment of the show goes a bit like this. You hopefully find a podcast of value and you share it to your network on the social medias, perhaps even on the Twitters. I then pick this up and give you a big shout going out. This week's shout goes out to Miguel Luis out of Lisbon, Portugal. Miguel is a real ambassador of this podcast and employer branding in general. He's also a senior HR leader at the Four Seasons in Lisbon, just in case you're heading out that way and need somewhere very nice to stay. So thank you very much, Miguel. And you can find him across social media on Twitter. He's at Miguel Luis. So if you want to share this podcast on social media, just let me know and I could be giving you a shout out on the next episode. In other news, on the 2nd of November, I'm doing a presentation about how to measure your employer brand with the guys at Enviable Workplace and Parkbox here in London town. It's a free morning event and I'm going to cover the Linkhumans approach to the very difficult subject of making employer brand tangible and measurable. I will, of course, also speak about our employer brand index methodology, which I have mentioned on this podcast before. You'll find the event on Eventbrite, social media, or just ping me and I can send you the details. And if you can't make it in the morning on the 2nd of November, perhaps because you're based in Australia, perhaps because you're listening to this a year later, or it just happens to be your weekly squash morning, no fear, we'll do it again soon. Also, I'll post my slides on the web on SlideShare. That's it for this week. If you have any questions at all regarding the work that we do here at Linkhumans or any of the consulting work I do, feel free to ping me or an email at jorgen@linkhumans.com. Many thanks for tuning in and catch you next time. Hey doll!
Why did the hipster drown?
No idea.
He went ice skating before it was cool.